Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Paul Spatola from Rochester, New York, and welcome to the Tent and Event Rental Industry Podcast. This is our 11th podcast, and I'm going to title this one, Simple Tools to Make Your Life Easier. Today, I'm going to take some moments to discuss and reinforce some ideas and some tools that you can utilize to make your life a little bit easier. I want to start this by saying I am not being paid, and I am not endorsing any one particular product or title of a product. It's just what I've heard, and it's just what I'm kind of relaying because, you know, the idea here is that if you invest in your tools early, you're going to set a precedent for future success, right? If you ask any rental business owner something they wish they'd had considered or known about earlier, it would be about right tools, right? And they have how much time and effort and money they would have saved in the long run. So here is a list and a review of some tools and some ideas for tools that you may have thought about, you may have not thought about, and I'm going to kind of start with something called, stake drivers and stake pullers, okay? You might have heard the term rhino driver or the whacker. You might have heard something called the green monster stake puller or the jackjaw stake puller. These are basically tools that you can purchase to help drive and pull stakes with maximum force and limited effort to your teams. I would highly recommend doing your research on these tools, even if you're in that 3 to 6 tent ownership range, okay? If you've got tough ground in your business area, this is really a no-brainer. I don't know that this is the best tool for your 20-wide pole tents by themselves, but if you're setting them all up at the same on the same weekend or on the same tent ground, or if you're exploring the idea of owning 30-wide pole tents, 40-wide pole tents, or frame tents, I think these tools are a must-have. Another idea, which is, these stake drivers, they are what they sound like, okay? Instead of using a sledgehammer, you're using a mechanized tool to drive stakes into the ground. And it's the same exact concept with the stake pullers. You're using a mechanized tool to get those stakes out of the ground, okay? The idea behind this is that you're not just simply using sledgehammers to get them in or out of the ground. So I know that the pricing range is anywhere from $1,700 to $3,000. And to a small business owner, that's definitely a large expense. But I want you to consider if you're paying your employees $10 an hour, $12 an hour, $15 an hour, and they're spending hours on a job site, if you give them this tool, those hours will be reduced. You're not going to make your money back on the purchase in the first weekend, but you're going to feel the effects of these tools long term because they're not something you purchase and you get rid of at the end of your first year. You purchase this tool, you maintain it, you're going to keep it for 10 years. So it's a huge labor savings. It's certainly going to help the wear and tear on your employees. And again, if you just have 3 to 6 tents, they're all 20 wides, maybe this isn't the time to get one of these bad boys. But the first time you put them all out in the same weekend or all at the same location, I can assure you, you're going to really want something like this to help this go a little bit smoother. Now, another idea, which is considerably less expensive, is building your own stake puller. I have worked with a metal fabricator, and my buddy out in Colorado, also, he's really the one that kind of got this idea started. What he basically did was he went to a metal fabricator, and they welded 2 stakes together with a couple crossbars. Now, the first of that crossbar was like a middle piece set with a rounded half circle, and the idea here was that it was going to grab the stake head, which allowed the tool... you kind of put it in there and it's going to grab the stake head. And then you would basically push that tool against the ground and then push it up. So you're pulling it up or you're pushing it up. And what that's doing is it's using leverage to get the stake out of the ground. It's a really simple concept. And if you have the capability, if you know somebody that could do this for you, it doesn't have to be 2 of your stakes. If you've got some iron laying around that you just want to do or you want to purchase this, definitely go for it. This isn't going to work with aluminum unless it's like super, super heavy duty aluminum. You want something that's strong that you can weld together. And that's really why I was saying using those 2 stakes, you put those bad boys together, you have that little semicircle with that crossbar, and now your 2 guys or 1 guy is just kind of lifting and you're using leverage against the ground to get that bad boy out. It's just one of those things where I really, really encourage you to not only jump online and start doing some research on these rhino drivers, the whackers, the green monster stake puller, the jackjaw stake puller, but also, you know, jumping into some of these groups, event rental classifieds, party rental town hall, professional tent and event rental, you know, groups on Facebook. You're going to see some of these individuals who have built these things, who have purchased these things, who have used them and really can attest to how powerful they are and what an asset they are as a tool for their group. Now, here's another one. Definitely not an expensive tool, but something that's very useful. Ratchet straps. If you purchase your tent and it comes with those ropes, that's perfectly fine. That's great. Again, keeping the 20 wides in mind, not a big deal. But here's something I'm really going to suggest. Go online, go to your tent manufacturer, and buy ratchet straps, okay? Get away from the ropes, and here's the reason I say this. It's going to save you time, and I think more importantly than the time, it's going to save you human error, okay? Folks that don't know how to tie knots well or are getting lazy or have been working for 10 hours or 12 or 15 hours in that same day, they're not going to want to be pushing all of that extra effort into pulling that rope as tight as they possibly can to then get themselves in a position where they've got this rat, you know, they've got it tied down, and maybe they're going to finish that off by hitting the stake into the ground. There's a lot of human effort that's getting put into that. And as your teams are worn down through, you know, the middle of your season, or it's the end of a long week, or it's at the end of your season, you're going to start to see, maybe not right now, but at some point, you're going to start to see that your employees are working a little bit harder than they need to. And in this one instance, you're going to give them the capability by using a ratchet to at least reduce some of the work or some of the effort that they're putting in, which very well could reduce any of their human error, okay? So ratchet straps versus ropes. If you buy the tent with the ropes, I would suggest you cut the ropes off and then get yourself some of those ratchet straps. I really just think this is going to be a time saver and a labor saver, and more, I think more importantly, kind of a good thing for your employees, because they're not going to be putting in extra effort where they could be doing something a little bit easier. Here's another super inexpensive one, sledgehammers. If you don't have sledgehammers right now, I don't know what you're doing. You're in the wrong industry, but here's where I'm going with this. Purchase different size sledgehammers, okay? Try those different sizes. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm not a big dude. I'm 5'9", maybe 200 pounds. When I was working full-time for my father, like full-time, I was probably 170, right? And I was lean, I was fit, that was great. Obviously, I'm a bit heavier now, but the thing is, when I was that kind of weight, I was able to use 10-pound sledgehammers all the time, right? Maybe we had a couple 12s. We had one 16-pound sledgehammer that I rarely used, but when I was in perfect physical condition, I always wanted to use that 16-pounder because a couple perfect strikes, and I could get that stake down with a lot less effort than swinging an 8-pound sledgehammer over and over and over and over. Now, again, I'm not a big guy, so using that 16-pounder, it wasn't my best asset, but if you have folks of different sizes, different skill sets, this is one of those things where I would encourage you to try different size sledgehammer heads. The other thing, and this is going to be a lot more expensive for you, do some research and purchase some sledgehammers that are steel reinforced. I don't recall the name of the particular brand, but I did some research one year working for my father, and I said, last year we spent X number of time and money on purchasing new sledgehammer shafts. Our guys would go out there, we'd use a new sledgehammer for a little bit, and then we'd break it, right? So not only are we purchasing more of the shafts, and then we're having somebody take the time to remove the wood from that stake head, or excuse me, that sledgehammer head, then put it back in, soak it in water so it gets to the place that it is. So now the sledgehammer's out of service. We've got an individual who is literally repairing them on a regular basis. And we're spending a lot of money on, you know, buying new sledgehammers because we're on the go. We need it right now. We got to stop at Home Depot or Lowe's or Ace, right? So it's one of those circumstances where if you think to yourself, gosh, this steel reinforced sledgehammer is going to cost me, we'll say $100. If you buy six of them, that's $600. Here's the thing. You're never going to break that sledgehammer, ever. So you're never going to be worried about having it out of service. You're never going to be worried about having somebody go back to fix or repurchase, which is going to be gas, it's going to be time, it's going to be extra labor that you're putting into this. You're going to save that money over and over and over and over. So that's my suggestion, two suggestions. Try different weights of the sledgehammer head and take a look at purchasing some reinforced steel sledgehammers. Now, this next one is going to be kind of like a fast-forward product here. This is something called Block and Roll. I really want you to look this product up if you have not. If you've never heard of it, I want you to write this down. It's called Block and Roll. Many folks that get started with water barrels That's fine, right? I mean, it's not fine, but it's what you get started with. You can get those 55-gallon jugs. You can set them up. You can fill them on site. You know, it helps you with the ballast for your frame tents. But what I want you to do is I want you to look up this product, Block and Roll, and I want you to do so because research from the IFAI has shown that concrete ballast is way safer and way more effective than water barrels. And I think one of the benefits of the Block and Roll system is, first, you're keeping up with industry standard. You could help. This is something you could use as a sales strategy. You can tell your clients, you know, we are following IFAI, you know, industry standards by using Block and Roll. You can charge a little bit more money for them. You can charge maybe a little additional delivery fee. And if the client's saying, well, I don't really want to do X and Y and Z, going back to the sales strategy here, you can explain to them that this is a safer, more effective alternative than water barrels. So if your bigger competition is using water barrels out there and you still only have those six tents, maybe three of those tents are frame, three of those tents are pole. If you go out and you buy this Block and Roll system, if you invest in this Block and Roll system for your business, you're setting yourself up for future success because it is safer, it is more cost effective, and it stays on that industry line. What's also great about this is the Block and Roll itself has its own set of tools to move and store and create the Block and Roll system itself. So you would buy a mold or you could rent a mold. And then what this is going to do for you is it's going to, another way to keep your crews busy, right? Because they're going to be building these pieces. They're going to be making sure that you're kind of moving yourself forward. But you're going to have the expectation that you're doing the right thing for your business moving forward. That's more important than keeping your guys or girls busy for a little while where they're making these molds. It's the right thing to do. It is a little bit expensive, but it will come back to you in the long run. I can promise you. Now, I'm going to talk about some things that I'm sure you have, and if you don't, I really need you to get them right now. We're talking about two-wheel dollies, and we're talking about Mongo movers. Two-wheel dollies, I think that's a no-brainer. You need to be able to transport some of your equipment. It could be chairs. It could be tent tops. It could be stakes. It could really whatever you would use a two-wheel dolly for. Like, if you don't have two-wheel dollies, you need to get some two-wheel dollies. But more importantly, I want to talk about this thing called a Mongo mover, and this, to me, is a must. A Mongo mover is a two-wheel dolly with four or six wheels. So it's bigger. It's going to hold a lot more weight. It's a lot heavier. It's a lot more heavy duty than a regular two-wheel dolly. And the benefit to this Mongo mover is you can move more of those chairs at one time. You can move bigger tent tops or multiple tent tops. If you're in inflatables, this is an absolute must. I don't do inflatables, but this is one of those tools where, like, if you're an inflatables person on top of your tables and chairs and tents, like, if you don't have one of these Mongo movers, I don't know what you're doing, okay? Look it up. You don't have to buy the brand Mongo mover, but if you're looking for this, it's a four-wheel dolly that's on the two-wheel dolly concept. Super useful on grass. Way easier to transport stuff because it's bigger. You can transport more. It's, to me, this is an absolute must-have tool. Next thing I want to talk about is four-wheel dollies, and this is for, like, chairs, okay? Four-wheel dollies, you can put your tables on these things, you can put your chairs on these things. If you aren't using four-wheel dollies, this is you're really missing a huge opportunity here. The reason I say this is you might not just do all of your work in somebody's backyard if you're still on that small angle. If somebody calls you and wants to rent 200 chairs and 25 8-foot tables, that could be the maximum of your inventory. When you get to that church or you get to that job site, you're not going to want to hand carry 200 chairs, right? You're going to want to stack those chairs maybe 50 or 60 on a four-wheel dolly so that you can start to move not only in your warehouse or in your shed or in your garage, you can move them in and out of the way. But when you're on the actual job site, assuming it's not grass in this case, you can put those chairs on that four-wheel dolly and you can roll them to their location. This is going to tie into another thing we're going to talk about later with lift gates on trucks, okay? And of course, storage in your locations. If you put your equipment on dollies, you can move them in and out of the way with way less hassle. You can transport them on job sites with way less hassle. If you're not using four-wheel dollies, this is an absolute must. Get them. I promise you they'll make a difference. Next thing I want to do is I want to talk about flatbed trucks. To me, this is kind of a twofold thing. This is a geographical location conversation, and this is also what kind of work you're doing conversation. Flatbed trucks, to me, are a huge asset because you don't have to worry about, you know, the inside of your box truck, right? So you can put stuff on the flatbed, and from there, your crews can easily on and offload. Now, again, this is going to be a conversation for what's best in your geographic area, but it's also a conversation of what kind of work are you doing. All right, if you're never worried about precipitation, we're talking about California, maybe we're talking about some kind of some southern states in certain cases, this might be a really, really good purchase for you because you can use that stake bed or that flatbed truck to easily on and offload. You don't have to worry about people getting in and out just from the back. It's also a way that you can kind of move some of your equipment a little bit quicker. That's about as far as I'm going to go with that flatbed truck conversation because this is something we'll talk about way in the future when we're talking about structure tents. And in fact, I was just talking about this a little bit earlier. You know, if you get into those structures, flatbed trucks are pretty much going to become a must. But again, we'll talk about that later. I'm going to keep on the trucks here. If you have a 16-foot, 20, 18, 24, 26-foot truck, you need to get a liftgate for that truck. This goes back to the four-wheel dolly conversation, transport back and forth on location or at your on the job site or at your shop. This is going to be a huge helper for you, okay? If you get that Mongo Mover and you're moving a huge tent top or a couple tent tops at the same time, you put those on the Mongo Mover, you get them over to the liftgate, liftgate lifts it up, you put it in the back of the truck, okay? It's going to save some repetition. It's going to save some labor. It's going to really save some stress on your employees' legs, back, shoulders, whatever. I'm telling you, if you don't have a liftgate, you really, really, really need to consider whether or not you can find a truck with a liftgate or you can put a liftgate on your current fleet. I assure you, this is going to save your employees time. It's going to save your employees' backs. It's really going to make their lives and really your life a lot easier. I know it's a little bit expensive up front, but you have got to consider all of the intricate pieces of your business. This is an intricate piece, just like those four-wheel dollies, just like that Mongo Mover, just like the concept of using a stake puller or a stake driver. You know, you're using these as tools to save your employees' backs, to save employee time, and of course, it's going to save you some money. Moving away from the trucks and the flatbed portion of this, I'm going to talk about trailers. I told you before, I've never really used those trailers, so I'm not big on trailers themselves, but that's part of because of how I grew up and what I was accustomed to, and also my geographic location. My backyard, if I was going to have a tent, you know, business, I would be operating out of my backyard, and I would be using a trailer because my backyard is not huge, and I don't have any real storage space, right? So the concept of a trailer as a tool here is you might not always be using the trailer for delivery. Maybe you need to use the trailer for storage because you don't want to buy a storage unit, right? A 10x10, a 10x20, multiple 10x10s, right? That's not going to be a good investment of your time. So if you can go on a Craigslist or something similar and you can buy an old trailer that's never going to get moved, it could be 14 foot, it could be 16 foot, it could be 20 foot, and you can put that in your backyard or on your land, it's going to be another tool for you that isn't a $5,000 shed or a $25,000, $30,000 pole barn. I don't know how much they cost because we don't build them where I am, but it's just another option for you, okay? Flatbed trailers, enclosed trailers, they're great for movement. They're great for storage. But if you're going to take this idea, if you're going to take this concept, which I think is a good idea, you're also going to want to make sure that you have a trailer dolly. Trailer dollies are a must-have, okay? It's going to make your life so much easier for moving your trailers around your yard. And although I, again, haven't really used the trailers myself, I know friends who keep multiple small trailers around their yard and have been using these trailer dollies to kind of navigate those trailers in and around their backyard without having to hook up their truck or their van, you know, to get them moving. I think I've kind of beat that one to a pulp, so I'm going to let that one go. This is a new one, a tent jack. If you're using tents that are 20 by something, you're probably not going to need a tent jack for your frame tents, okay? But that first time that you're getting ready to buy a 30-wide frame tent, or if you already have 30-wides and you're not using tent jacks, you really, 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 really need to go ahead and buy some of these, okay? I've seen folks build their own tent jacks, and that's fine if you trust your own concepts and your own engineering, but I would really, really rather see you and especially encourage you to speak with your sales reps, ask which brand of tent jack they're going to suggest, and start preparing for that purchase, okay? If you go onto Google, if you go onto Yahoo, Bing, whatever search engine you like to use, and you search for a tent jack, you're going to find a lot of different options, and that's great. So do your research. You're going to find that some are very, very expensive. Some are very inexpensive. I'm going to caution you to do that research. I can't say that this one is better than the other, but as an example, my father used to use Eureka for all of his tents or the majority of his tents. Pretty confident that he bought those tent jacks from the manufacturer because that was what they suggested. They suggested if you're using our 30-wide X2, our 40-wide X2 Keter frame systems, you should also be using our tent jacks. They're built to sustain the load of that tent weight. So again, for 20 by 20s and 30s and 40s on those frame tents, you really probably don't need a tent jack. Although I can see you manipulating a 20 by 40 with two people using a tent jack, that might be helpful. This is really for 30-wide frame tents, 40-wide frame tents, and of course, as you start to get bigger, we're going to start to talk about different tools that you'll need. When you get to a 50-wide, now we're really starting to talk about structure tents, completely different conversation. Moving away from that, I want to start talking about toolboxes, okay? First things first, if you've got a fleet of two vehicles, each one of those vehicles should have their own toolbox. If you don't already do this, it's time to go to the hardware store, get yourself a toolbox, and get yourself a basic set of tools for each one of your trucks. And I would also encourage you to have a separate set of tools in your garage, in your shed, in your warehouse that you can start to utilize. Here's one on that suggestion. If you do have those two vehicles or those three vehicles in a warehouse, I'm going to suggest that you take different colored electrical tape and wrap each tool and make each toolbox a specific color. This way you know which tool came out of the particular toolbox. And I'd also suggest that you you start to label those in some way, shape, or form, right? So if it's not going to be colored, then do something to label them. But if you don't have a toolbox on each one of your vehicles, you really, really need to do that. There's 100 different reasons you could use those tools, and you don't want to find yourself in a position where you're like, gosh, I really need a regular hammer, not a 10-pound sledgehammer for something small, okay? Which tools you'd like to use inside that toolbox, I'm not going to go there. Every independent company has its own needs, has its own products and its own services. So you need to just take a few minutes to, or I suggest you take a few minutes to think about the kinds of products that you have, what kind of tools would be useful in that toolbox, but really make sure you label it. I'm a big fan of color coding. Label the toolbox with a particular color. So when you're done using that tool, you can put it back to the right toolbox, which goes on the right truck. Another thing for that toolbox, and maybe not physical toolbox, but in the toolbox thought process, is vinyl glue. Look up HH66 vinyl cement, okay? This is a great resource to keep in that toolbox, or at least on the truck, with a few extra pieces of cut vinyl. I like to use old sidewall or old tents. And the reason this is helpful is it's going to be a quick fix for your pinholes or minor tears, and you can use this without the need to sew that cut back together, that cut vinyl. But if you have a tear that's longer than like 4 inches, unless it's a perfect tear, I really would say that you might want to take that tent on a service. On the flip side, sometimes you just have to make do with what you've got. So get that HH66 vinyl cement and then keep some extra vinyl alongside in that toolbox so that you can make a quick repair on a pinhole, a quick repair on a tear right there on site if you need to. Another thing I really encourage you to have is zip ties. I cannot tell you how many times I've used these. I'd highly suggest you purchase heavy-duty white or translucent. Keep like hundreds of them in your trucks or in your toolboxes. Like everybody should know where there is 100 available. These can be super helpful with hanging lights, reinforcing sidewalls, or hanging sidewalls. Maybe you've got one of those sidewalls that's missing a ring or a connection and more, okay? It's a simple solution that helps you out in a pinch. This one's a little bit different. I never did this, and I wish that I had. I'm talking about head-mounted flashlights, and I'm talking about construction helmets. I have never been a fan of wearing a helmet on a job site, but I can assure you that there were times when we really should have utilized them, okay? When you're setting up a large tent, whether it's a pole tent or a frame tent, this is something that you should consider. If your team sees that you're taking action towards their safety, I really think that you're going to build trust, and they're going to appreciate the extra attention to detail, even if they want to act tough and laugh at the concept. On this note, I'm also a fan of providing gloves for free for your teams, okay? I wasn't ever a glove person when I was young, but as I started to get older, I wished that I had considered using gloves in the past, because we're talking about what? We're talking about minor cuts, minor scrapes. They're not necessarily going to help against bruising unless they're like a mechanics glove, like a heavier duty glove. But go to Ace, go to Home Depot, get yourself a 10-pack, so that your team always has them as a resource, okay? Not every single glove is going to stop a really bad cut, but the little teeny scrapes and bruises and dings, it's just going to be an extra pad of protection. And of course, it's going to protect your employees' hands, because if somebody comes through and, you know, well, they get a really bad cut on their hand, that glove could help to save that or make it less painful. And of course, the idea here, honestly, keeping your employees in service, right? In service to your business, that is. So gloves, head-mounted flashlights for those night jobs, those early morning jobs, and construction helmets. If you don't have those gloves for free for your employees, I get it. But honestly, this is something I love to have you take a look at. This one's kind of a simple concept, ladders, okay? If you don't have ladders, you really need to start considering to get some. Use the kind of ladder that's going to make the most sense, okay? You might not need a 35-foot ladder, you know, for any of your jobs, but maybe something that's going to be a 16-footer. Don't get something that's light duty. Get something that's heavy duty. Make sure that your guys or your girls, your employees, I should just say that, are up on that ladder hanging lights or, you know, making a fix to the tent. They're not going to be concerned about this ladder falling over. But what about something different? Not ladders. What about like a heavy duty step? Okay. Here's the thing. When you're hanging sidewalls, you might jump up and down on a chair. Okay. And that's one clip and you're moving over to the next one. You get down, you do the whole entire process all over again. Well, what if you had like a 4 foot long, 12 to 18 inch high step stool? I wish I had considered this when I was working for my dad, but I actually picked this one up from my buddy across the country. He noticed that his guys were taking a really long time hanging lights and hanging sidewalls. And to me, I was like, dude, this is just part of the business, right? Like you have to account for, it's going to take your crew's time to hang lights and sidewall. But he was like, no. And he was always very good about breaking the mold because he came from out of industry and he was really analytical. So he was good at finding different ways to make his time more profitable. And as such, he purchased like four of these 4 foot long, 18 inch high, heavy duty step stools basically for his crew. And what they would do is they would basically just put two down in a row. So now you got 8 feet of clearance and his guys would get up to the corner. They would hang the first piece of sidewall and they would walk down the line because they had 8 foot of these step stools. So the next person would come over, move the first step stool, you know, down, and they would kind of create this pattern where one person is standing at level with, you know, the sidewalls and where the lights are being hung, and they can easily operate without getting off and on a chair, getting off and on the ladder and repositioning. So it made a huge difference. And we're talking like several minutes per tent. And if there's three guys on a tent and it's 10 minutes per tent, that's 30 minutes. That's just one, you know, that's 30 minutes of labor savings right there. Okay. And that's times how many tents do you have? How many times do you put them out? You could save yourself thousands of dollars by making a couple of these purchases. Or think of this a different way. You could build your own. Grab some 2x4s and do the exact same thing. As long as you have this kind of bench, which is really what we're talking about, that's heavy duty, it's going to help your team to hang those sidewalls, hang those lights. Maybe it's a 20x40 frame tent. You got three people that you're on that tent with. And if they each have one of those stools, when it comes time to lift the tent up, it makes it a little bit easier for them to get that tent into position so you could feed the legs and get yourself in position. Now, this has been a little bit longer podcast than I expected. We're at 28 minutes. I'm going to talk about one more piece before I end this, and this is something called the tent ox. This is not for you if you're in that 2 to 6 tent range, okay? This tent ox is something I really need you to explore, whether you're in position to make a purchase like this or not. Let me also say that the tent ox is a significant purchase for your business. This is something that you're going to be buying knowing that you're doing this long term, you're looking for aggressive expansion or normal expansion. But here's the beauty about this tent ox. The tent ox is basically a skid steer that's way lighter, is just as powerful, and has a whole complement of tools that you attach to the ox itself. We're talking about stake driving capabilities. We're talking about stake pulling capabilities. We're talking about using forks. We're talking about a mount that helps with setting up your center poles on your large tents. I don't know the actual cost of this, and I plan to ask the owner of this business to interview. I think this thing is absolutely game-changing. It's absolutely brilliant. It's really one of the first pieces of technology for our industry that I think has made a substantial difference in owners' lives. It is expensive. And expensive is obviously a relative term compared to how you live and what kind of work your business does. But if you're doing 30 wide pole tents and you've only got one, you might not be a great candidate for a tent ox. If you've got six tents in total, 20 by 20s, 30s and 40s, both pole and frame, you might not be a good candidate for a tent ox. But if you're that person who's got two 30 wide pole tents, maybe you've got one 30 wide frame tent, maybe you're considering you want to get into having a 40 wide. Maybe you even want to get bigger. Maybe you're getting requests for 50 by 100 or a 60 by 120 pole tent. If you're going to make that kind of investment to move your business forward, you want to jump into 40 wide games, tent ox for one 40 wide, maybe not. But if you have 50 tents and you're doing festivals and you're doing, and you've got four trucks and you've got 20 crew members, you got to start looking at this tent ox. You really do. Because there are businesses, even in my area, where one of the businesses locally, they've got four of these machines. Look this thing up. I promise you, you might not be there today. You might not be there tomorrow. But if you want to take your business to the next level and you're looking for a way to reduce your labor costs, to have a more effective operation, and you're looking for a tool that has legitimately changed the game of the tent rental world, you've got to take a look at this tent ox. Now, I have been talking for quite some time. This has actually been my longest podcast so far. It's 32 minutes, or we're approaching 32 minutes. And I wanted to say thank you so very much for everyone who's reaching out. At this particular point, this is our 11th podcast, and I have started to put my feelers out just a little bit. I know I've mentioned on previous podcasts that I'm going to get my dad involved for an interview with my brother, but I've also reached out to some other individuals in the industry that I'm asking for some review. I'm asking for some insight, some conversation points, and I'm asking the same of you. If you haven't contacted me yet, my email is pspats44@gmail.com. Please reach out to me if there's something you want to discuss or something that you'd like me to discuss. Also, if you would like to get come on the show for an interview, what I'm looking for is your story. I'm looking for your why. I'm looking for your culture. I'm looking for your tools and your innovation, because what we want to do is we want to talk about the things that are making your business a success. And honestly, I really want to put you on the hot seat, and I want to find out what's making your business, you know, a failure. If your business is not thriving or it's not doing great, I want to know why, and I want to talk about it, and I want to talk about it openly with other business owners so that we can discuss how we can make this a better industry for ourselves, for those caterers, for those banquet managers, for those florists, you know, for those photographers, all of the individuals that are involved in this entire business, this whole network that we have. Now, again, this is Paul Spatola from Rochester, New York. This is our 11th podcast. This is the Tent and Event Industry Podcast. Thank you so much. Chat soon.